start with a few midrashim on the Sedra and try then to explain at least one way of understanding them. The Gemara says that when Yaakov Avinu realized that he was soon going to die, he called his children together and he said, "Hey Osvu Vagido Lochem Esa Sheyikre Eschem Va'achris Hayom." Gather together, and I want to let you know what's going to happen in the end of days. And the Gemara says that Bikesh Legalos Lohem Esakets. Simple meaning is he wanted to reveal to them when Mashiach would come, when the end would be. And the Shechina left him, and it became unknown to him. It got closed up from before him, became obscure to him what he wanted to say, and he got scared, and he thought that maybe because there's some kind of psul, there's something invalid about one of his children, and they're not united in their belief in God. And because of that, he's not able to tell them when Mashiach is going to come. So he said to them, maybe something's wrong with you, and you're not all united in your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, our father, Hashem Elokeinu, our God is Hashem Echad, is one God. Same God, you, our God is one God. And they proclaim their belief in the unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And to that, Yaakov Avinu answered, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Olam Voed. And the Gemara says, since in the Torah, when the mitzvah of Kriya Shema was given, it wasn't given with the pasuk Baruch Shem Kavod, but Yaakov Avinu responded to their original Shema Yisrael with Baruch Shem Kavod, so we say it low. That's one Gemara. Another Medrash says the following. Yaakov Avinu looked at the names of his children and he saw that there was no Chet. The letters Ches and Tes don't appear in the names of any of the tribes. Chet means sin. So he said, wow, there's no sin hinted to in the names of my children, so I can tell them when Mashiach's coming. Then he looked again and he saw that two letters also didn't appear in the names of his children, Kuf and Tzadik, Kates. So he said, there's no sin, but there's no Kates either. I can't tell them when Mashiach's going to come.
They don't appear as a word? Or those letters?
The word. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, they don't appear in the names, the names of the Shvatim. None of the names of the Shvatim have a Ches or a Tes or a Kuf or a Tzadik. Kates means the end, which refers to the time when Mashiach will come. Another Medrash says that what can Yaakov Avinu be compared to? To a confidant of a king who was dying, and he called his children together and he wanted to reveal to them the mysteries that the king had confided him. And just as he was ready to reveal those mysteries to his children, he sees the king standing there by his bed. So instead of telling them the mysteries, he tells them, be very careful of the honor of the king. And that was the same thing Yaakov did. He wants to tell his children the mysteries of the king. When Mashiach's going to come, he sees that the God is there by his bedside. So instead of telling them the mysteries, he gave them blessings, which doesn't really fit the mashal. It should have said he told them to be careful of the honor of the king. Or in the mashal, it should have said he told his children, he gave them blessings. Right? And instead of telling them when Mashiach's going to come and the mysteries of the king, he blessed them. So that's what it should say in the mashal. The mashal says, though he told them, be careful of the honor of the king, where is that parallel to what Yaakov actually did? Instead of telling them when Mashiach's going to come, he blessed them. Where's the connection? And one more Medrash. The Medrash says that we say Baruch Shem Kavod low. Whisper it. We don't say it out loud. Why? Because when the Torah was given and Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, it didn't mention Baruch Shem Kavod. On the other hand, when Yaakov Avinu, when the Shvatim originally said those words, Yaakov responded Baruch Shem Kavod. So the Gemara says, to say it, Moshe didn't say it. Not to say it, Yaakov said it. So we say it low. And it gives a mashal. There was a princess that smelled food being prepared in the royal kitchen, and they were preparing some very not a very royal meal, right? A very plain kind of food, but she wanted it very much. So she asked them to bring the food. So to bring it to her would not be according to her status. Not to bring it, she is a princess. So they brought it quietly. So to over here, the Baruch Shem Kavod somehow is like this unrefined food that the princess wants, so you bring it quietly. What does Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso have to do with something unrefined? Sounds like a pretty nice thing to say. Why? What is wrong with saying it that we have to say it low? And on Yom Kippur, we say it loud. Why is it okay to say it loud on Yom Kippur? Those are all the things that we will eventually explain. But those are the midrashim that exist around this episode in the parsha. The Rambam, in the first chapter of the Laws of Kriya Shema, Halacha Dalet, says the following: Mesoras hi biyadenu. We have a tradition. At the time that Yaakov Avinu gathered his children together on his deathbed, he commanded them and gave them Musar on the oneness of God. Right? The Alderech Hashem Sheholech Bo Avram VeYitzchak Aviv. And he also gave them guidance and gave them chizuk on the path that Yaakov and his forefathers, Avram and Yitzchak, the path that they trod. V'omer lohem bonai, shema yesh bochem psoles, misheinu omeid imi biyichud adon kol ha'olamim. Maybe, perhaps, you're all not united with me in your belief in the oneness of God. Like later on, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, he also admonished the Jewish people and gave them chizuk, and he said, perhaps there's one of you that's heart is turning away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he gave us a lot of admonishment or whatever. Similarly, Yaakov, before he died, also said, maybe you're not completely committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam or whatever. And what did they answer him? Anu kulam v'amru lo, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, our father, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Klomar, Shema mimenu avinu Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Posach hazokein v'onar, Anna and Yaakov answer to that, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso li'olam v'ed. Lefichach noagu kol Yisrael, lomar shevach sheshebach bo Yisrael, hazokein achar posach zeh. Therefore the custom is to say this pasuk after we say Shema, even though this pasuk doesn't appear in the Torah, but we have this tradition that that's what Yaakov Avinu answered, that's what he responded, so we say that pasuk too. And we say it low. Okay. Let's make some headway. First of all, they ask on this Rambam. The Rambam does not accurately describe what Chazal said happened there. Yaakov wasn't interested in calling them together and giving them chizuk and about the oneness of God. He basically wanted to tell them when Mashiach is going to come. And in the end, he gave them brachos. So where did this idea that Yaakov called them together to strengthen them about the oneness of God? So there are various answers. I think perhaps an answer could be the following. What is the case? What is the idea that will come a time when Mashiach will come, that will be the culmination of all of this world? What is the culmination? So it says, we say it all the time. Vayhoya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. That time will be when God will be king over all the world. By Yom Hahu, on that day, which is the Kates, which is when Mashiach will come, Yiyah Hashem echad ushmo echad. That's when God will be one and his name one. And the Gemara says, and God is not one now, he'll only be one then, and his name will only be one then. And the Gemara says, no, really, our perception of God isn't 100% one now. Why? Because in this world, on good things, we say Baruch Hatov Ameitiv, and on bad things, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. We don't see that oneness. We see good, we see bad, right? We don't see that everything is one and united under the Ribbono Shel Olam. We see different ways that God functions in this world. And therefore, it impairs our ability to see the real, absolute oneness of God. And God's name isn't one also, because we don't read God's name the way that we say it. It's written Yud Ke Vav Ke, and it's read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So God's name isn't one. But on that day, when the world to come, we'll read God's name the way that it's written, and everything will be good. We'll see how everything in the world, good and bad, really united under God's plan. So then, only then, will the real oneness of God be obvious. In this world, God's one, but our perception isn't complete. Okay, and until God is, what's it called, served by everyone in the world, our perception also is impaired. And we don't see that God is really one, everything united under him. We say that in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. We describe what will be when Mashiach will come, and V'yeyosu kula maguda achas, and all the world will become one band to serve God with a full heart. Everything will be united. Everybody's heart will be united to God, and all people and all creations will be united in service of God. Then truly God will be one. And that's what we say. The Simloch at that time, the Simloch Hatzah Hashem Levadecha, you God will rule alone on everything, right, from our perception. God rules alone on everything the way it is now, but it doesn't appear like that. So therefore, the real oneness of the Ribbono Shel Olam is when Mashiach will come. And therefore, that's what the Rambam understood, what Chazal meant, that Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Es HaKeitz. Not that Yaakov wanted to tell him a date. Okay, here's when Mashiach's coming, right? This month, this year, this day. What he wanted to tell them was what the world will look like, Legalos Es HaKeitz, to uncover and reveal what the Keitz is. He wanted them to really appreciate what that oneness of God is. He wanted to give them a glimpse of the real oneness of God now in this world. Okay? That means legalos es hakeitz. And that's what Medrash HaGadol says. He told them, hey osfu. He said the word asefa, which means to gather together, also intimates tahara, purity. Okay? Purity means that your thoughts are pure, there's nothing mixed in. It's all directed, all the Shem Shamayim. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim says. Tahara is where there are no foreign thoughts. Everything is directed totally towards God. That's the total unity of God. So, hey, osfu, gather together, implies purity of heart, total devotion and commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Purity. And the tzivam al hamachlokes. He commanded them not to be split with one another. She calls man Yisrael ba'aseifa achas malchus shamayim b'mkomo nedes. As long as Jews are united, then God's kingdom is also one. But if we're not united, then it appears like there's a lot of different gods, because each person has his own thing, and then God's name is on each Jew, and every Jew is separate, and looks like there's a lot of gods. So therefore, in order for God's oneness to really be empowered, it has to come from the unity of the Jewish people. The Shaloh HaKadosh says that the idea of asefa, of being united, has this connotation of purity, because it connotes the opposite of that is tumah, which is tzaras, which is when you speak Lashon Hara, you become tameh. When you don't speak Lashon Hara one about the other, then you're tahar, right? So, therefore, Yaakov Avinu told them, hey, osfu, come together in purity. Don't speak badly about each other and cause dissension and division in Klal Yisrael. And that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to do. He wanted to tell them the ultimate unity of God. And in order to do that, he said, you're going to have to gather together, all together, because if you are not gathered together, I can't. The unity of God is not not really in force. So if I'm going to reveal to you what it means, God's unity in the world, you're going to have to be gathered together. And what happened was, all of a sudden, he couldn't reveal that unity. He couldn't tell them over, right, how the world's going to look at that time when everything will unite, good, bad, everything will be one. So he thought maybe it's because the Jewish people are they're themselves not united, that there's something in their heart that they're disunited from God or disunited from each other. So he asked them, what's going on? Why can't I tell you and explain to you the unity of God? And the Eitz Hadas says that when there is disunity amongst the Jewish people, then the Kates, the end, is disappears. It's not able to be understood, which is exactly what we said. Because the Kates means that time when God will be one totally, right, from our perception. And that perception is impossible to understand when there's disunity amongst the Jewish people. So that's what Yaakov felt. The reason that the Kates has become obscure to me, the reason it's become hidden to me, is because something is wrong with your unity. And therefore, what's it called? He asked them, are you all unified? Are you unified with God in your heart? Are you unified together with each other? Are you unified with the derech that I gave you that comes from Avram, Yitzchak, and from myself? And what did they answer? Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael, our father. We are all B'nai Yisrael. We all follow your way. Hashem Elokeinu. And Hashem is our God. We are committed to him completely. And we are all united together. He's the God of all of us. We're all B'nai Yisrael, united with you, with each other, and Hashem Echad, then God is one for us. So it can't be that the reason you can't describe the Kates and reveal to us that oneness of God, that time of the oneness of God, is because of something wrong with us. It's not true. Then Yaakov Avinu realized that that's not the way to reveal what that unity of God is. That absolute unity can only be realized when it comes. What can we realize now? A lesser understanding. We can't understand the real oneness. The real oneness of God is ein od milvado. There is nothing really besides God. That's a very high philosophical understanding that the Michtam Eliyahu says that if somebody really understands that there is nothing in this world besides God, everything that exists is only existing because it's God's will to exist, which means it's an extension of God's will. So there is nothing in this world aside from God's will, then a person could not continue to exist as a separate being. He'd have to totally become negated to God, and he would cease to exist. It says that's what happened to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, when they were combing his flesh, was saying Shema, and he came to the word Echad, and he so immersed himself in that concept that there's nothing besides God, that his neshama left him. And he didn't die because the Romans killed him. He died because he totally negated himself to God, because he realized there's nothing else besides God. And that's what it says. The Baskol went out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, sheyotza nishmascha be'echad. You are fortunate that your neshama left you be'echad, not when you were saying the word echad, but through the idea of understanding that oneness of God. So that total perfect understanding is not for this world. That's something that most people can't reach. So what is our perception of the oneness of God? Malchus Hashem. That we're all part of God's kingdom. And by uniting underneath him, we make God one. There is a whole Malchus. There's a whole kingdom, which is not really the way it is, because there's only God. But for our purposes, we have to recognize a kingdom, we have to recognize creations, but we have to recognize that they can all unite under the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a lower level of understanding the oneness of God, but it's the level that we have to use on this in this world. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Al Yolam Voed. I can't give you over the absolute oneness of God, but I can give you the relative oneness, how we perceive it, through God's kingdom in this world and everybody being part of that kingdom. And therefore, the Baruch Shem Kavod is not the ultimate. When it says in the Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is absolute. But that is not really something we can perceive in this world. So we have to say the Baruch Shem Kavod, the lower level of oneness of God, that everything in creation unites under God, but there is a creation. There are things to unite. And therefore, it's considered like the Tzike Kedera, it's considered like the unrefined food. It's not the real refined food of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which we say proudly out loud. It's the lower level. So we say it low because that's the level we're on, and we don't proclaim it loud because it's not really the absolute level that there is. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, when we have a taste of that real oneness of God, when everything unites, the Satan admits, the bad comes to be good, the Medrash represents Yom Kippur as Yom Echad, it's the day when everything unites, good, bad, right, what's it called, the Satan doesn't have power over us on Yom Kippur, everything becomes one, then we get a little taste of that absolute, then we can say the Baruch Shem Kavod out loud too. Because we're already now have a little taste of the absolute part. It's not a shame, it's not something that we have to whisper to say the Baruch Shem Kavod, because we're able to say it in the context of uniting it with the absolute also. Then we can say it out loud. Okay. Based on this idea that this is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell him. He didn't want to tell him a day when Mashiach's gonna come, the date. But he wanted to be Megalis HaKeitz to explain to them what the Keitz means. What is the concept of the oneness of God that will come about in the Keitz? And he realized he couldn't do it in an absolute fashion. He had to do it only in a relative fashion of Baruch Shem Kavod. So the Medrash says like this. Yaakov told them, Eineni yodea emas hayom adin. I don't know when the day will come that there'll be the day of judgment, which means that end time, which we describe in our prayers on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the time when God will judge the whole world and He'll be one and everything will unite, is what we describe, right? I don't know when that's going to be. Hareini omer lachem, but what I can tell you is the following. Shekasher te'osfu, the tikabtsu, atem, when you will gather together and be united, Nigolim, that's when you'll be redeemed. I can't tell you what the absolute outcome is, but I can tell you the way to get there. The way to get there is to represent God's unity in this world relatively by being united underneath Him. Okay. And that's why we say in Rosh Chodesh benching, I think, we say the following, Misha'asa nisim lavoseinu, he who did miracles for our forefathers, the goalu me'avdus lecherus, and he redeemed them from slavery to freedom, Hu yigalo son of Dikarov, he should redeem us in the near future. Hu yigalo son of Dikarov, the kabech nidachenu me'arba kafos haaretz, and gather us together from the four corners of the earth. Chaveirim kol Yisrael v'nomar amein. When all Jews will be friends and they'll all be gathered together, then that's when the geula will come. Because basically, in order to get to that absolute oneness of God, you have to preface it with the relative oneness, meaning Malchus Hashem, the kingdom of God that's united under Him, which starts with the Jewish people uniting under God, together with Jewish tradition, Jewish history, and each one together with each other. That's the ultimate unity. Yeah, the ultimate unity is where we unite with Jewish history.
No, the part about He who did miracles for our forefathers.
Oh yeah, He who did miracles for our forefathers and redeemed them from slavery to freedom, He should redeem us swiftly, soon, right? And gather together our scattered people from the four corners of the earth. All Jews are friends, but no maron name. What it's describing is, if we want the ultimate geula to come, the path to that is uniting, relatively at least, in this world. And then the ultimate unity will come in the end. And that's what it says in Bereishis Rabba. Nasu b'nei Yisrael aguda achas, hiskinu atzum l'geula. When the Jews unite into one cohesive group, then they have prepared themselves for for redemption. Hiskinu. Hiskinu can also mean not to just prepare yourself for redemption. It's a sign that the redemption is coming when Jews are united. That is the tikkun. That's the way to prepare the way for Geula. The Geula is the ultimate unity. The way to prepare for it is relative unity, by uniting in this world. And therefore, what causes the opposite of Geula? Galus, Churban, the disunity. How so? Either being disunified from God or disunified from other Jews. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, which broke up our connection to God. Right? By having Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, we broke our unity with God. Okay?
What does that mean in English, what?
Yeah, Gilui Arayos is immorality, sexual immorality. Shvichas Damim is murder. And Avodah Zarah is idolatry. Okay? By serving idolatry, we broke our unity with God. By murder, we basically broke our unity with each other. And with Gilui Arayos, we broke our unity with Jewish tradition. This is not what a Jew is. Immoral. Jews are moral. And the immorality is not following the path of the Avos. It's going off to another path. It's not the Jewish path.
That was the second temple?
Right, so first temple. The first temple was destroyed for those three things. What are they representative? Breaking off our unity with God, Avodah Zarah. Breaking off our unity with each other, Shvichas Damim, murder. And breaking off our unity with Jewish tradition, immorality. What was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed because of? Sinas Chinam, because we didn't have unity between us. So disunity is the antithesis of Geula. Geula is the time when God's oneness will be absolute. And anything that disrupts that unity in this world is the antithesis of Geula, which is Galus and Churban. So the Galus and the Churban is caused by this disunity. The Ksav Kabbalah says that's how Yaakov Avinu, how it developed. His final meeting with his children. Originally he said, Hey Asfu, meaning all gather together at once, right? And Hey Asfu, and I'll tell you what the ultimate Legalos Sakes, I'll tell you what the ultimate unity, absolute unity of God is like. For that you have to, Hey Asfu means gather together all at once. And then when he saw that he can't reveal to them that absolute unity, so then he said, okay, so what can I tell you? How you can unify relatively under God as part of His kingdom. So now he kavtzu. He kavtzu means one at a time. One at a time come, right? I'll give you Musar, I'll tell you how you can be part of God's kingdom, what your part is, how you can work together with the others, and then, little by little, you'll all gather together, one at a time, and I'll give each one the bracha, and each one Musar by himself. And then you'll know how to contribute your unique part towards the common good, and that's how you unify. That's how you become Malchus Hashem. That's how you become God's kingdom. Each one doing their part the best way they can, contributing towards the whole. So he had to speak to each one privately, because he didn't want to insult them in front of the other ones and give them Musar in front of the other ones. Each one he gave their individual bracha, and then he gave them all a bracha together. Because this is the way to train them how to be part of God's kingdom. So originally he wanted them to gather together, all spontaneously together, that ultimate, absolute unity. And after that he said, you know, that's not the way. Baruch Shem Kavod, we're going to speak about Malchus Hashem, speak to each one individually, everybody come, gather together, one at a time, and then we'll unite you together to be a functioning kingdom of God. And that's what it means. There was no chait in the names, right? And therefore there's no kates, which means the following. The kates is the ultimate unity. But in order to get to that kates, there have to be no chait. There has to be no chait means something that's missing. Imperfection or a what?
Off the mark.
Yeah, chait means off the mark, but it means something's missing. There has to be perfection amongst the Jewish people, then you can get to the cates. But in the names of the Jewish people, the cates is not there. The cates, that absolute unity, is not for this world. The absolute unity is replaced with this relative unity of being God's kingdom and unifying one with the other. Okay. And that's what it says, what's it called again? And this achdus causes the ability to come to that ultimate unity. That's what it says. When you gather together, hiskinu atzmum legeula, you will prepare yourselves for the geula. In other words, not just you'll be ready for the geula, but this is the path to prepare the ultimate unity by this relative unity. Okay. Now that could be the meaning of the Medrash with the king confidant who's dying. He wants to reveal to his children the mysteries of the king directly. But he sees the king is standing there by his bed. He realizes that's not the way to reveal the mysteries. The mysteries are going to have to come in a not by being revealed, right, what's it called, from the outside, but the children themselves are going to have to build themselves up to that mystery. So therefore, what did he tell them? You be careful of the honor of the king. You become the king's confidants. And eventually, the king will tell you his mysteries. I can't tell you them. But the king will tell you them if you become part of his malchus, part of his kingdom. It's exactly what Yaakov said. I can't reveal to you and explain to you that ultimate unity of God. But how are you going to get God to reveal it to you? By being part of his malchus in this world, by uniting in this world underneath. And therefore he gave them brachas, each one, how he can fulfill his part in that kingdom. And that will prepare the way that one day God will reveal that ultimate oneness as a result of the relative oneness that comes from the unity of the Jewish people throughout history. That's what the mashal means. The note of Yehuda says that what Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children was the war of Gog and Magog. Before Mashiach comes, there'll be this final war where all the world will unite against the Jewish people and be decimated. And they'll be decimated.
Oh, thank God.
And he also wanted to reveal to them the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the third Beis Hamikdash. So the note of Yehuda says what it means is unity has a power to destroy all evil, because what is the Gog and Magog? The unity for evil against God. The unity for good for God has the power to destroy that negative unity. And the Beis HaMikdash is a positive unity. The Beis HaMikdash unites everything in creation under God. It's under the service of God. The Beis HaMikdash is like a little universe where everything becomes united towards God. Achdus, the unity of the Jewish people, has the power to create that spiritual unity and to destroy that negative unity against God. That's what Yaakov, in the end, revealed to his children. And that's why, in the end, what Yaakov did, he gave each one a bracha, each one musar. How can you contribute your unique part towards God's kingdom? And how can you then unite together, each one respecting the other one's part and contributing their own part? And if you do that, then you'll be Megala the cage. You will uncover the cage. When the time comes, God will reveal that unity if you build up to it by being unified again with Jewish history and Jewish tradition, unified with the derech of Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, of Yaakov Avinu and the Avos, unified with God, totally committed, and unified between yourselves, unified as a cohesive group that represents God's kingdom. That's God's kingdom. Commitment to Him, commitment to Jewish tradition, commitment to each other. And if we mechazik ourselves in all those three areas, then we'll prepare the way for the ultimate unity, which is the Yimos HaMashiach. Yes?
Two questions. One, how was it that the sons were able to say to Yaakov, like,
you call him by name?
Yeah, like they call him.
They asked that question. And
perhaps the answer is like this. Yisrael, Yaakov's name, his personal name was Yaakov. It was changed to Yisrael as a title almost for him. That Yisrael means Kisorisa im Elokim v'im Anoshim v'tuchal. You're able to struggle with angels and with human beings, and you persevere. So it was a title given to him. So you're allowed to refer to your father, right, or mother with a title, right, and then their name. So it could be over here by Yaakov Avinu, the name Yisrael wasn't really his personal name. It was a title given to him. It became his personal name after that, but it also became a title. So they referred to him Yisrael not as you, the person, our father, but what that Yisrael represents. That's what we say. Listen, Yisrael. Yisrael means Jewish tradition. That's what we're referring to, not you as the individual.
Throughout the generations, we're becoming less and less unified, it seems. So does that mean we have to go to the extreme of total disunification to go back to it?
I don't know. I don't know if we're becoming less and less unified.
But if you look back, we used to be much more unified, like the Jews, let's say in Europe, or the Jews.
Do you really think that that's the case? That's very nostalgic looking. But if you look through history, if you look through, I don't know if we were ever so much unified. That's the problem. That's why we're still in Golos. We were unified maybe when we had a Beis Hamikdash, and then right? The problem started way back from the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, and hasn't gotten too much better. Because if it would get better, then we wouldn't have to be in Golos.
But it's getting worse.
I don't know if it's getting worse. It was pretty bad during history too. So I don't know if it's getting worse, and in certain respects, it's getting better. People are more conscious of the fact that we're disunified and trying to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Right? There's all these groups and whatever of trying to unify people and not speak Lashon Hara and whatever. So who knows? Maybe it's getting better to a certain degree.
And more people learning.
What?
More people learning towards it.
That's right. Okay. Right.
How do you see the base of Mikdash being rebuilt? Are we going to rebuild it, or is Hashem just going to...
It's a combination. There's a spiritual Beis HaMikdash which will descend into the physical Beis HaMikdash, but there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, so partially it'll be built by human hands, and it'll be finished, right, whether spiritually or even physically, by heavenly hands.
How will we know it's the right time to...
How do we know it's the right time? Because the Rabban Hashem will send Eliyahu Navi and let us know that the time for Mashiach has come. That's Hinei Ano, it says. Hinei Anochi Sholech Lechem is Eliyahu Anovi Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem Agadol Vanor. So one way we'll know is that there'll be a Novi that comes who will qualify as a Novi. There are ways that a Novi has to be qualified.
It's a Novi,
prophet. Mm-hmm. And he'll be a bona fide prophet, and there's ways of knowing who a bona fide prophet is or not. And he will tell us prophetically that Mashiach is coming, to be prepared. That's if it happens in a normal transition. It's possible that it'll happen in a very miraculous way all of a sudden, and then God will make sure that we know what happened and what it is.
How is it that Yaakov he wanted to reveal to, like you said, the note of the Yehuda says that Yaakov wanted to reveal to the sons, like, about the war of Gog and Magog and about the third day of Dash. But at that time, it's possible that there wouldn't have to be a third day of Dash.
Okay, it could mean he wanted to reveal to him what the end would be, no matter what would be before, but what's going to be the ideal. So that ideal was going to follow whatever, whether it be the third one, the second one, the first one, or whatever, but that would be the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. And there's going to be a time when evil would unite together and its last stand and then be destroyed. That's what we want to say. We now, based on how Jewish history evolved, right, developed, know it in this context. But whatever it is, the context is that there'll come a time when whatever will be the destruction of evil and the ultimate unity of the world with a Beis HaMikdash. That's what he wanted to build. The context that we know it, it's that's how it's described.
Okay.